are very difficult to handle is self-imposed curses. When you place a curse on yourself, the reason is that, number one, you have been given authority, you have dominion, and your tongue is an organ of dominion. Number two, your word is your bond in the spirit realm. So what you say is what stands. So the negatives you release upon your life, they are very difficult to deal with. Another person dealing with those things is very difficult. The only person who can deal with them is you yourself, because you said those words and you must revoke those words. So God doesn't want idle words to come out of our mouth. He said, let no corrupt communication, corrupt word, come out of your mouth. Corrupt word is a word which lacks power, a word which is not backed by the Spirit. He said, every idle word, idle word is a word which is not backed by the Holy Spirit. It's not backed by grace. So he said in Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but that which will minister grace, which will edify people. Hear us, your hearers. He said that is the word that should come out of our mouth. So it's very important. Now, when we release idle words, the devil takes advantage. When it comes to God, God doesn't just move by words that you release. He moves by words that you release that he sanctions. When it comes to God, it is not blab and grab. It's not just saying it and getting it. It is saying what he wants you to say, and he doing what he wants you to say. He wants to do that he wants you to say. When you say it, then he does it. But when it comes to the devil takes advantage of idle words. That is why, as a believer, you should not be releasing negative words over your life. Negative words over people under you. You know, if you are an authority figure, you are a parent, your children under you, you are a pastor, your congregation, you are a teacher, your students, you are an employer, your employees. They are people who are under you and are supposed to be under your covering. When you say negative things, the devil can take advantage. The way we open the door for Satan a lot of times is by saying something that lacks the backing of the grace of God. Because the devil, he goes about as a roaring lion. He's always going about. So if it's a circle, you know, that we have formed, he will go around. You know, remember that game that we used to play when we were children? Somebody will be going round and round, and then he'll come and put something behind you. If he goes round and comes and you have not discovered it, then he will come and tap you. That is exactly what Satan does. He's just going round, and he's just seeking for an opportunity to enter. And because you have been created in God's image, and your words carry power, and your words represent your permission, your word is your bond. As soon as you say it, you invite him. So don't say negative things about yourself. Don't say things like, I'm dead, this thing will kill me, I'm not good, I am weak, I'm ugly. You know, I was reading a book by one man of God called Derek Prince, who is with the Lord now. And he said that his wife had been battling, had been suffering from pain in the leg. And he had been praying and doing all that a man of God can do for his wife. And nothing was, you know, happening. So one day he went to the Lord in prayer, and he wanted to get to the bottom of this thing. And the Lord said that, your wife has placed a curse on her legs. And unless she revokes that curse, your prayers will not work. So he asked the wife, and the wife could not remember any time that she placed a curse on her legs, or said, any time that she said, maybe, my legs, I curse you. So as they were thinking about it, then the man of God had a word of knowledge. Then he asked the wife, have you ever spoken something negative about your legs? That maybe these legs are not beautiful, or these legs have done this. Then she said, yes, but it's a long time. When I was a teenager or so, I just said something about my legs, that my legs were not beautiful and I hate my legs, something like that. Then he said, that is the cause of it. Because when you said it, that spirit of infirmity heard his name, and he entered. A door was open for it to enter. And as soon as she revoked those negative words, the pain that had been with her for so many years, that pain just left. And so God used that to teach me a lesson, that the casual words we say, the negatives, the devil takes advantage of them. Unfortunately, it's not the same with God. You can't just say casual things with God and then get things. No. God is a disciplined God. He knows what he wants. He will get you to speak what he wants to do, and then he will do it. So in the Bible, there are many people who suffered because of self-imposed curses. I'm going to talk about utterance, but I just want to bring your mind to something. They suffered because of self-imposed curses. One example is in Matthew 27, verse 20 to 26. When Jesus was before Pilate, and Pilate was trying to set him free, and he told them that, I don't find any evil about this man, anything evil about him. And then Pilate asked them to bring water, and then he washed his hands and said, I am innocent of the blood of this innocent man. And Bible says all the Jews said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. Now they didn't know what they were asking for. And when you read church history, a time came when in AD 70, where the Romans invaded the place, and the kind of massacre, the kind of damage that was done, I mean, it was serious. All because of what they said. In Numbers 14, 28 to 29, the Lord told the ten spies, that what you said, it will happen to you. Because they said that when the 12 spies came, and the 10 of them brought evil reports, and the whole congregation were crying and they were murmuring, and they said, have you brought us here in the wilderness to kill us? We are going to die here, we and our children. Is it because there are no graves in Egypt that you have brought us here, Moses and Aaron, to come and kill us here? And God said, the same thing you said, the exact thing will happen to you. You will die in this wilderness. You'll die and be buried in this wilderness, and you will not cross over the Jordan. Then also, the last example I'll give is Peter. In Mark 14, verse 76 to 72. Mark 14, 66 to 72. The Bible talks about Peter's denial of Jesus. When he said, I don't know him. You know, then he said, are you not one of his disciples? He said, no, I don't even know the man. So he excluded himself from the disciples of Jesus. So when Jesus rose from the dead, and the angel, and let's read Mark 16, verse 7. I just wanted to just sort of, but let me just read. Come to Mark 14 first. Mark 14, 71. Then he began to curse and swear, I do not know this man of whom you speak. This Peter talking about Jesus. I don't know him. I don't even know his name. Please don't come and try and, you know, worry me. Then come to Mark 16. Mark 16, verse 7. This is when Jesus rose from the dead. Let me read from verse 6. But he said to them, that is the angel, he said to them, do not be alarmed. You seek Jesus of Nazareth, who was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. see the place where they laid him. But go, tell his disciples and Peter that he is going before you into Galilee. There you will see him as he said to you. He said, tell his disciples and Peter. So here, Peter was not part of the disciples. Because of what he said with his mouth, he said that, I don't know him, I am not one of the disciples. So the angel too couldn't address Peter as part of the disciples. So he said, go and tell the disciples, and then tell Peter too. If Peter was part of the disciples, he would have said, oh, go and tell the disciples. And of course, Peter is one of them. But this one, he was careful to say that, tell the disciples, and then Peter. So Peter was not a disciple. That is why when Jesus Christ met Peter finally, he had to help Peter to revoke all those things. And so he said, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Then Peter said, yes, Lord, I love you. How many times did he ask him? 3 times. And Peter denied him 3 times that I don't know you. So Jesus wanted to correct the problem. So he said, do you love me? Number one, say, yes, I do. Do you love me? Number two, yes, I do. Do you love me? Number three, yes, I do. And all those I do, I love you, they cancel the I don't know him. That shows that what you say with your tongue is very, very powerful. Very, very powerful. And we should not joke with words that come out of our mouth. You can literally determine the course of your destiny by what you say. You know, but utterance is speaking what God wants you to speak. Speaking the word of God, declaring God's word for it to come. Utterance is when the word you are speaking is backed by the Spirit. When the word is backed by grace, by the grace of God. And so the language that God wants his people to speak, that language is Christ. I'm going to explain. Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Hebrews 1, 1. Let's look at the language God is speaking now. God is speaking. That's why sometimes we have to scrutinize what people tell us. Because the language God is speaking now is Christ. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets. That is, in the Old Testament, he said God spoke to the fathers by the prophet. He said he spoke in various ways and he spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophet. But has in this last day spoken to us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. Through whom also he made the worlds. He said, God is now speaking to us through the Son or by the Son. And so any word that is purported to have been spoken by God, that word must contain Christ. That word must minister Christ. That word must project Christ. Otherwise, it's not God. If you don't see Christ in any word, that word is not God. God. Now, God is speaking to us by Christ, his Son. And to God, they say the reason is that he said, by whom also he framed the worlds. He made the worlds. The worlds, the universe was made through Christ. The medium or the substance that God used to create and to bring about the universe, that substance was Christ. Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. The same was with God in the beginning. He said, all things were made through him, and without him, nothing was made that was made. Him was life, and the life was the light of men. All things were made through him. So creation was patterned after Christ. Everything God did, the purpose of creation was to manifest Christ. So everything God did it to conform to the image of his Son. Therefore, creation has been programmed only to listen to Christ. That's why he said, for the earnest expectation of the creation waited for the manifestation of the sons of God. The sons of God are in the image of Christ. They are the ones who can speak to creation, because creation was patterned, programmed to respond to the Son. Colossians 1:16 says that all things were made through him and for him. All things were made through Christ and for Christ. All things. So when the Bible talks about the fact that through God made the world through the word, you know, in Hebrews 11 verse 3, it says, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God. That word of God, is the word that existed in the beginning. That word was Christ. So it is the word of God that framed the world. Is that same word in our mouth that can frame our world? Not any other word. That same word. The same word God used to create is that same word that must come out of our mouth. That same Christ. That same Christ. So that is why we need utterance. We need spirit-energized, spirit-directed, spirit-empowered, spirit-motivated speech, so that we can make impact. Because the words we speak, if the words are not issuing from Christ, they are not coming out from Christ, they can't make the impact God wants on this earth. Because creation has been programmed to respond only to Christ. In fact, he is the heir of all things. And everything, including we human beings. God created us the way he knew Christ would appear in the flesh. That is why when Christ came, he was just like us. He came as man. God created our bodies the same way he would appear in the flesh. Everything. To God, the value of anything is a degree of the manifestation of Christ in it. God doesn't have any dealings with the world apart from Christ. The language God speaks, God understands, is Christ. Outside Christ, no dealings. Outside Christ, no dealings. Therefore, every word we speak must carry Christ. That is God's plan. The believer is not supposed to release idle words. He's supposed to release spirit-energized words, utterance. So when you stand to speak, the Holy Spirit must back what you are saying, because you are saying what God, what the Christ who was used to create the world, what he stands for. Hallelujah. Colossians 3:11. The Bible says Christ is all. And in all. Christ is all. And in all. It's a very powerful statement. Where there's neither Greek nor Jew, circumcised nor circumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave nor free, but Christ is all and in all. He fills all things. He fills all things. He is all and in all. There is no communication between God and man outside of Christ. No communication. Hallelujah. So therefore, when we say utterance simply means releasing Christ with your tongue. I'm going to show you that the believer, that the tongue of the believer must do three things: preach, prophesy, pray. That is the main, these are the three main functions of the tongue of the believer: preach, prophesy, and pray. And all these three things, they must release Christ. We must preach Christ, prophesy Christ, pray Christ. Everything is Christ. When I say Christ, I will explain. You understand. Because some of you are picturing that man that you see in the movies. That man came out recently to say that people have been abusing him, you know, like people have been worshiping him and all that, but he is not Jesus, he's not Christ. Let's open our Bibles. Let's look at 1 John 5, 10 to 12. All this that I'm talking about, preaching, prophesying, praying, they must communicate Christ. And that's what we refer to as the testimony of Christ. The testimony of Jesus. Bible says the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony. That's why every prophetic word must impart Christ-likeness. Every prophetic word must carry Christ. There must be an impartation of Christ-likeness. Do you know what God is thinking about now? How you and I can be conformed to the image of His Son. Image of His Son. Okay, 1 John chapter 5. Verse 10 to 12. What is that testimony? What is that testimony? 1 John 5, 10 to 12. It says, let me read from verse 10. He who believes in the Son of God has the witness in himself. He who does not believe God has made him a liar, because he has not believed the testimony that God has given of His Son. And this is a testimony that God has given us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. He who has the Son has life. He who does not have the Son of God does not have life. That is God's testimony about Christ. In Him is life. And God is saying that anything that doesn't have Christ in it, there's no life. It's death. It doesn't matter how good it is, it's not God. He says, anything without Christ, no life. He said, this is the testimony. This is what God is speaking concerning Christ. He said, the life, eternal life, is in Christ. If you have the Son, you have life. If you don't have the Son, you don't have life. That is the gospel that the apostles and the prophets, they were ministering. That's what they were saying. They were saying that Christ is all. And in all, that Christ is God's statement to the world. He is the Word, God's communication with the world. Everything is centered on Christ. In fact, Bible says in Ephesians 1:10, all things in God will be summed up in Christ. All things will be summed up in Christ. He is the Alpha and the Omega. He is the first and the last, which means He occupies rank. He is the beginning and the end. He occupies time. He fills everything. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Occupies the entire Christian life. He occupies it. Everything is centered around Him, centered on Him. Life is centered on Christ. For me to live is Christ, which means not to live is without Christ. To die is outside Christ. When we grow in the Lord, we come to a point where we see Christ as life. When you first meet Christ, you meet Him as the way. As you go on, you see, the way means a journey. Okay, so as you start that journey, you encounter Him as the truth. But when you get to the mature level, you will now see Him as the life. That is when you see Him as your life support. That's when you really understand that without Him, I can do nothing. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Without Him, I can do nothing. That's a higher level. That's the mature level. He's a chief cornerstone. He's also the capstone. So everything, there's no way. He's the embodiment of wisdom. He said, in whom dwelleth all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Colossians 2:3. There's no wisdom outside of Christ. The principle that sustains all creation is, without me, you can do nothing. Without the Christ, you can do nothing. That's the principle that Satan tried to circumvent. But you see, principles cannot be broken. You end up breaking yourself. It's the same principle that mankind now is trying to circumvent, that we can do something without him. But God says, without Christ, you can do nothing. Christ in you is the hope of glory. Hallelujah. So the preaching, the prophesying, and the praying, they must minister Christ. I'm going to talk about the preaching. These are the three things that we must do as believers. When I say preaching, I'm not talking about holding the microphone. Preaching means to proclaim. In fact, teaching is also included. Teaching is to instruct. Preaching is to proclaim. Preaching doesn't mean to talk fast. And teaching doesn't mean to talk slow. Preaching is proclaiming. Teaching is causing to understand, instructing, giving instruction. That is teaching. So, what the Bible talks about preaching Christ or the gospel, you see, the gospel is not about Christ. The gospel is Christ. It is the gospel of Christ, not the gospel about Christ. In Mark 1:1, Mark said, the gospel of Jesus Christ. Colossians 1:28, Paul said, him we preach, instructing all men in all wisdom, that we may present everyone perfect, matured in Christ. That was the objective of every preaching, every teaching in the Bible. To present all men perfect or mature in Christ. So he needed all wisdom to impart that. Hallelujah. 2 Corinthians 4:5. It said, him we preach. Preach who? Christ. Not theories. Christ. Not principles. Christ. Not traditions. Christ. It is Christ in you that's the hope of glory. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Preach Christ. 1 Timothy 6:3. The Bible talks about wholesome words. Wholesome words. Wholesome words. 1 Timothy 6:3. 1 Timothy 6:3. If anyone teaches otherwise and does not consent to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which accords with godliness, he said he's proud, knowing nothing, but is obsessed with disputes and arguments over words, from which come envy, strife, reviling, evil suspicions, and all that. He said, wholesome words are the words of our Lord Jesus Christ. He said, if the teaching does not consent to wholesome words, it does not minister Christ, no matter how sweet it is, if it does not ensure growing into his image, no matter how sweet, how wise it looks, God does not endorse it. Now, we have to be very careful of the things we listen to. Jesus Christ said, take heed what you hear. Very careful, because certain things that we have always thought were God's message, they were not, because they didn't minister Christ. They didn't impart Christ likeness. They didn't ensure growing into his image. So God was not in it, because anything outside of Christ, you count God out. So the preaching, the word, the message must supply the Spirit of Christ. Come to Philippians 1:19. Philippians 1:19. Supplying the Spirit of Christ. Philippians 1:19. It says, for I know that this will turn out for my deliverance through your prayer and the supply of the spirits of Christ. Spirit of Jesus Christ. Supply of the spirits of Jesus Christ. When the spirit of Christ is supplied, two things happen. The first one is that the sinner is born again. Number two, the saint is conformed to his image. Any teaching, any preaching, any message that does not accomplish these two things is not God's message. It can be a good message, but it's not a God message. It can be a good advice, but it's not the good news. It's not the gospel. It is not spirit inspired. If it does not ensure growing into the image of Christ, it will not help you to become more like him. If it will not help somebody who is not born again to become born again, or if you are born again too, does not help you to become more like him, it means it wasn't the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit only projects Christ. He said, he shall glorify me, for he shall take what is mine and shall show it to you. You can take the Bible and preach anything from Genesis to Revelation. I'm telling you that atheists can preach from the Bible. There are many preaching, many teachings you hear, and you know that a motivational speaker can teach the same thing. It's not the good news. There are certain teachings we call motivational teachings. I mean, Les Brown, Stephen Covey, and Jim Rohn, Zig Ziglar, they can easily preach the same thing. That is not God's message. That is a good thing. It's not a God thing. You see, to God, life comes from Christ. That's all. In him was life. That's why in the Garden of Eden, there were two trees at the center of the garden. One was called the tree of life. The other was called the tree of knowledge of good and evil. That tree of knowledge of good and evil contained good things and evil things. So there was a side of that tree that was good. But you see, God hates both the good side and the evil side of the tree of knowledge. As far as God is concerned, life is what is important. That's why God will settle for nothing less than a new creation. He didn't say turn over a new leaf. He said, no, I'm making you a new creation. New creation. So it's not about change your habits. He said, I'm changing your spirit, making you a new creation, new altogether. So we have to be careful. Any preaching that gives wisdom, hope, joy, and it does not impart Christ-likeness is a good message, but not a God message. Let me tell you something. Satan's first sermon that he preached, the devil's first sermon that he preached, was a good message, but it wasn't a God message. Come to Genesis 3:4. Let me show you that a lot of people are preaching Satan's first sermon. He has already preached it. Now people are not preaching. He has already preached it. Look at his first sermon. Genesis 3:4. And the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. Is it a bad thing? I'm asking you. Is it a bad thing to say you will not die? Is it a bad thing? No. It's a good thing. You will not surely die. For God knows that the day you eat of it, your eyes will be open. Is it a bad thing for your eyes to be open? Is it a bad thing? And you will be like God. Is it a bad thing to be like God? Knowing good and evil. That was Satan's first sermon. This was coming from the mouth of the devil. He said, and the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and the tree was pleasant to the eyes, and to be desired to make one wise. Is wisdom a bad thing? But where is the wisdom coming from? Where is the wisdom coming from? Is it coming from Christ? Is it imparting Christ-likeness, or is feeding the flesh? Is it bringing facts to your mind, or bringing food to your spirit, making you more godly, or is making you smarter in this world? That's why Paul said, don't let anybody deceive you with empty philosophy and vain traditions of men and not of Christ. Let me read that to you. Come to Colossians. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 8. Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ. So Paul was saying that if it is not according to Christ, it doesn't matter how wise it looks like, it is not God's message. We don't know how far we are from the truth. It's not God's message. God feeds his people with Christ. God feeds our hearts. He doesn't merely teach our minds, he feeds us. So the message that comes is coming to feed you. So what you are preaching as a believer should be the testimony of Christ. And you cannot preach it if you the testimony of Christ is not confirmed in you. So utterance, preaching Christ, you can only preach Christ when you yourself, you are in that relationship with Christ. In other words, you don't preach what you know, you preach who you are. You impart who you are, not just what you know. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. God imparts life, not knowledge. A lot of times, we can preach to people and get them excited. We can inspire people and all that. But at the end of the day, if it's not imparting Christ-likeness, it's coming from our mind. It's not God. Any spirit-inspired communication will minister Christ-likeness. You will go out from listening to the message and you will see that spiritual development is taking place. He said, grow in the knowledge and grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. We grow in knowledge and grace. God is not about stuffing our minds, cramming. You can cram the whole Bible into your mind, you will still not know him. Because the truth is a person. We get to know him. Before we can preach Christ, we must have the testimony of Christ confirmed in us. He must be revealed not only to us, but in us. So as you are preaching him, you are talking from experience. In other words, his word must have a place in our hearts before we can communicate it to people. It's not about human words. It's not about words of enticing wisdom. It's not about eloquence. Do you know that sometimes even the word that you use, you don't even know the word, but you just speak and somebody will be convicted. Sometimes you won't even use words. Somebody's life will change. We think that we must learn and memorize and rattle and sometimes parrot. No. When the knowledge of Christ is established in our hearts, you open your mouth. You see, Bible says in 1 Corinthians 2:11, he said, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. Other version says, communicating spiritual truth with spiritual words. It's the Holy Ghost who gives that utterance, who energizes your word. So depending on the Holy Ghost is the key to making impact. When it comes to preaching the word, either by preaching with your mouth or preaching with your life. By the way, we can preach with our lives too. There's a saying by Saint Francis of Assisi. He said, preach the gospel always. If it becomes necessary, use words. He said, preach the gospel always. If it becomes necessary, use words. Did you get that? If it becomes necessary, use words. Preach the gospel, which means you can preach the gospel without words. Your daily interaction with people can even communicate Christ. Why? If you are submerged, if you are immersed, if you are in a relationship with Him, if you are so filled with Christ, your daily interactions can impart Christ. Hallelujah. So we have to get to know Him so that we can also communicate Him. I'm not saying read and tell. I'm saying get involved with Him. You see, when your life is your desire, you have a desire to grow in your relationship with Christ, you yourself, you become church. So church is not just a place we go to. Church is who you become. So you become light. As you go, your light is shining. People will come around you and you will impart Christ to them, sometimes without words. That is what God wants us to do. That's why Bible calls it witnesses. You shall be witnesses of me. A witness is more than going from house to house. A witness is somebody who has seen something, heard something, and is manifesting it. That's why the early church, they were too powerful. God, they saw Him. They heard Him. I will show to you. So, what is your revelation of Christ? You see, the degree of the impact you will make is determined by the degree of revelation you have about Christ. How do you see Him? There are many believers who see Him as Mary's boy child. Mary's boy child, Jesus Christ, was born on Christmas Day. People worship a historical Jesus. A Jesus who came to live here. He died and rose on the third day. He was doing miracles and all that. But that is, you see, that is not the picture of Him that we should have now. Now, He is not Mary's boy child. Now, He is exalted Lord. He is Lord of all. He is King of kings now. Lord of lords. The name Jesus was given under heaven. Are you okay? The name was given under heaven among men. That is talking about His humanity as He came to die. But He is Jesus Christ, King of kings, Lord of lords. In Revelation, you will never see the name Jesus like us. referring to him, you just see the testimony of Jesus. The testimony of Jesus. People who were beheaded by because of the testimony of Jesus. Because they were on earth here and they were sharing the testimony of Jesus. That testimony that God gave concerning him, that only in Jesus is life. 2 Corinthians 5:16. Know no man after the flesh. If we knew Christ after the flesh, now we don't know him as such. He says, therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Even though we have known him according to the flesh, now we shouldn't. Our relationship with him should not be limited to the stories we've heard about him. We should press on to experience him so that you can communicate him, manifest him. In John 6:35, Jesus says something. And let me show you something here. John 6:35. He said, and Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. You know why he said that? He had multiplied bread for them to eat. And the people were following him, and they were asking him for more signs. He said, Rabbi, Moses performed miracles. Moses called manna to come down from heaven. What are you also doing? Because of the bread. And Jesus said, is it because of the fragments that you've eaten that you are talking about? Is it because of this thing I blessed, you know, and I multiplied and all that? He said, I am the true bread. Eat the whole meal. Don't just settle for the fragments. Eat the whole meal. The whole issue of our Christian life is relationship with Christ. How we are being conformed to the image, not the fragments. Today we die report to fragments, not to Christ himself. Of course, the anointing, the power, everything talks about Christ. But the most important thing is growing into the image. That is our destiny. That is purpose. That is the true message of purpose. Purpose for the believer is growing into him who is the head. Come to Romans 8, verse 29. Sometimes we just get hooked on certain things and run with them without checking to see whether they have any basis in the word of God. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. That is the purpose of God. The original intent, you were predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. This is the message of purpose. When we say that, discover your purpose, this is your purpose. Discover your purpose. Discover why you were born. Discover why you were born. The original, what God had in mind before you came. This is what God had in mind, to be conformed to the image of Christ. So the message that you are hearing must be helping you to be conformed to the image of Christ. The prophetic word must be helping you to be conformed to the image of Christ. That is your purpose. That is your destiny. So what is the true message of potential? The true message of potential is Christ in you, the hope of glory. How you are growing to conform to the image? What is left for you to attain the full measure of the stature of Christ? That is your potential. So potential is not the books you must write that you have not written. the travelings you must travel that you have not traveled. That's not potential. You see, that is cheap, and that is very low. That is good news, but it's not God. It's not God. That is good, but it's not God. The potential is how much of Christ, how much of the image, and what is left. That's your potential. This is a true message of destiny. He said, we are predestined to be conformed to the image of Christ. You see, the devil came into the church and presented sweet packages, seemingly sweet, I mean, sweet, nice sounding words, good news and good advice, which were not necessarily God. So right now, a lot of things that we are preaching from the good side of the tree of knowledge. People want to hear people want to hear things that will that are self-centered. My vision, pursuing your dreams. How do you pursue your dreams? Plug into Christ. Desire to grow in the Lord. All these things about what you eat, what you wear, about the travelings you must make, about the buildings you must build and the books you must write, and they are lesser purposes. The major purposes of God, God's obsession, is for you and I to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might become the firstborn among many brethren. The image of his son, that is God's obsession. That one, you cannot preach it unless the Holy Spirit inspires you. The other one, people who are not born, they can even preach it. I followed motivational teachings for some time. And you know what? The books I was reading, they were not written by believers. They were written by unbelievers. Then I saw believers also writing motivational stuff. And I saw that this is nothing but what the unbelievers have written. We've just powdered it with some few scriptures. Nothing but that. All the motivational things you have been hearing, they are either Napoleon Hill, that has been scripturalized, or biblicalized. Hallelujah. Amen. So Jesus said, you need to eat me as a bread. Don't be satisfied with the fragments. That's why these days, you see, the people of God these days, they have some emptiness in their soul. Because the message we are feeding people with is not Christ. It's only Christ that can satisfy the believer. So now the believer is going after tokens, after this, after that, after all sort of things. Because no matter how much of coke you drink, it can never replace water. Yes. So instead of drinking water, you are drinking all sort of liquids. And so it's creating more hunger, and hunger for the wrong stuff. And wrong solutions create more problems. Okay. So we need to have a revelation of Christ. Let me finish by this. He said we should be witnesses. Witnesses. Witness, according to the Bible, is somebody who has, who is saying what he has seen or heard. Acts 22 verse 14 to 15. Acts 22, 14 to 15. Then he said, the Lord God of our fathers has chosen you that you should know his will and see the just one and hear the voice of his mouth. For you will be his witness to all men of what you have seen and heard. So that's a witness. John 4:20 talks about that. Acts 4:20. Then 1 Peter 1:16 to 18. Peter said, we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. Let me read that one to you. 1 Peter 1:16 to 18. 2 Peter 1:16 to 18. Okay, he said, for we did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. You said that we were not preaching anything, stories and all that. He said we were preaching what we saw. We saw it on the Mount of Transfiguration. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty. What they saw about Christ, what they experienced about Christ was what made impact. Not the words, not their eloquence, not how they were able to craft the word, but the power backing it, and that is utterance. 1 John 1:1-2 said that which we have handled, which we have touched, which we have seen, heard of the word of life, we have handled it, touched it, seen it, heard it. That which we declare to you. That is God's way. No wonder one woman could turn a whole town upside down, and the whole town followed the woman to Jesus. Why? She had an encounter. We don't know the words she used. Look at what she said. Come and see a man who has told me all that I've ever done. Could this be the Messiah? These words are mere words, but they had power backing it because of the experience he had with Christ. He had a revelation about Christ. He said, I am the Messiah. Bible says that he left the water pot and went to the city. And because of that encounter, what she was saying, she was ministering the testimony of Christ, and people were becoming convicted. Hallelujah. Amen. Not words of enticing words of man's wisdom. Paul said, when I came to you, I did not preach with enticing words of man's wisdom. He said, I preach Christ. That your faith may not dwell in the wisdom of man, but in the power of Christ and demonstration of the Spirit. God doesn't want our faith to be in human wisdom, but in Christ. That's what Paul said, I determined not to know anything amongst you but Christ and him crucified. There was a reason for that. Paul was somebody who was well versed in Greek philosophy. He could have raised arguments, you know, using human wisdom, philosophies of men and all that. But he said, I preach Christ to you so that your faith will dwell in Christ. Hallelujah. So, we are supposed to preach, prophesy, and pray. Time will not permit you to go to the other ones. I'll talk about the prophecy, the spirit of prophecy next week. Before God created the heavens and the earth, God only had to say, let there be light, and there was light. Let there be this, and there was that. That was before God created man. He only had to say it, and that was it. Ever since God created man and said, let them have dominion, God must always have a witness on earth before what he says will be established. So what God intends to do, he must find man for man to say amen to it. Then it is established. That's why God has never abandoned the human, abandoned man's cooperation, the fellowship of man. Because he made it so that unless man gives permission, my intentions and my words, so I speak, but man, I must have man on earth. Earth must give witness to what God is saying. So now, all the promises of God, they are yes and amen. So God will say it, then the amen will come from the earth, from man. So prayer actually is like this. God will put in your heart what he wants. Then you will say it, and it will be established. You will say it. God will declare his agenda, then you will proclaim it, and it is established. That is what it is. So now we and God are in partnership. Heaven and earth are in partnership. Whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. So what God wants to do, he will release it into your heart. When he releases it, then you must use your mouth. You must use your mouth to say it, and then it is established. That's why prophecies are given. That's why when God wants to do something, he reveals to his servant the prophet. He said, for surely the Lord God will do nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servant the prophets. So God wants to do something on earth. He will let people say it. It's the same thing with testimony. That's why there's power in testimony. Because when you say it, what you are doing is that God has done it. You are proclaiming it. It's established. When the woman with an issue of blood touches his garment, Bible says she felt in herself that she was healed. But you know what? Jesus said, who touched me? The woman came. Then Jesus said, go your way, daughter. Your faith has made you whole. Whole means completely healed. Why? Because she came out to declare what God had done. So there's power in declaration. There's power in reinforcing what God has said. What God has spoken to you. What God has quickened in your heart. You saying it carries power. That is the word in your mouth. That is the rhema. He said, that is the sword of your spirit. He said, it's the spirit that gives life. The flesh profited nothing. So you see, it's not just about quoting scripture. It's about the Holy Spirit quickening the thing within you and you speaking it out. That's why as a believer, we should always be reading the Bible. Reading the Bible, meditating on the scriptures, getting to know God, getting to know everything in the Bible and all that. At the crucial moment, the Holy Spirit will come on you. I mean, he will literally quicken that scripture in you. At that point, it ceases to become the logos. It becomes the rhema, the sword of your spirit. The sword of your spirit. That word in Ephesians says, is it taking the sword of spirit? Is a sword of yours. That word is the rhema. The word you release with understanding. The word you release because God has spoken. The word you release because God has quickened. That word, the devil cannot stand it. That is why I know today that every word we are going to release will be established. Because God said it. So the words we release in the atmosphere, they will be established. No, the devil cannot stand it. God needs a witness. Even in your own destiny, God needs a witness. God wants you to speak it out. When Jesus Christ came, for some time, no human being was calling him Son of God. Only demons were calling him Son of God. He will meet them and they will say, I know who you are, Son of the Most High God. Have you come to torment me? Then he will say, shut up. The demons were confessing, but in Matthew 16, when they got to Caesarea Philippi, he said, so what do men say that I am? Then they said, some say John the Baptist, others say you are Elijah, Jeremiah, one of the prophets. They said, okay, you, who do you say that I am? Because no human being has said that. Then Peter said, you are the Christ, the Son of God. That was when a human being said it, and the word was established. What has God spoken over your life? Say it. Say amen to it. When you receive a prophetic word, say amen to it. Do you know why sometimes you receive prophecy and then you sow a seed? You are just saying amen to it. And it's in the Bible, when Abraham met Melchizedek, and he said, blessed is the Most High God, and blessed are you, Abraham. He blessed him, Bible says, and then he gave him a tenth. That was the principle. It wasn't Abraham who said, take this tenth and bless me. That is not scriptural. You don't go and say, take this and pray for me. No. Receive prayer and then you can give. Receive the blessing and then you can sow to amen it. But don't go and say, you know, it's like Simon's telling Peter, take this and pray for me also, that anybody I lay hands on will receive the Holy Ghost. Peter said, your money perish with you. But when you receive spiritual blessing, you can seal it with material blessing. That is your way of saying amen. So when somebody is praying and you don't agree with the prayer, don't say amen. Your amen is that earth is giving witness to heaven. Hallelujah. We are going to pray. And we are going to be declaring certain things into the atmosphere. Let's be on our feet. We are going to be declaring into the atmosphere. But first of all, we are praying. You see, any self-imposed curse, anything you have said against your life, against your future, against your destiny, against what the plans of God for your life, sometimes you said it out of frustration. You may have said it out of frustration, exasperation, whatever. The devil can take advantage of it. So we are going to renounce every negative word. Begin to pray in the spirit, and after that I will lead you. Kolitara masuka tayande she. Libra tanda mahata la mako sheteres. Libra turu makado zimahandiske. Koliatere mahade na makado sita la malas. Lika no brotini atana mahadas. Ikolobolo sita la hatala mandala balakutele de siria laba. Loli pratanda, kripata lamanda, sukata yandis, ribatandi kripata namahata, koria barabaraba, sikro tolomo, shindalaham, loli atalamahatandi yakatala, bo sikaha, dote dihatiri atata, limalayandolo bokose, ripandi krata, siyalahata, koli prondele de tele sahatos, mlandi kretere bahata namahas, Ripandoro Boko Sikahet, Rama lingra tanda la banda losa lidro toli anda la hatala ya kropola la doria tele de sitele hem pridele pridele anda la batanda bradi yusku rebeli anda la bosa rebo la bosita la mahatala ya mam inga logo sita ha boli edele matana monde tete le hata handele betano bosi hem londele bekola mahante boliri bihetala Bolia Talabalabadas, Lembranteli Baham, Martele Medemicutus, Ola Rossi Alamaras, Libre de Colobosia, Oli and Ebahans, Libran de Mahanda Baha, Likro de Baha, grant us utterance, grant us utterance, grant us utterance, 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 grant us utterance, Oli and Ebahans, speak through us, O God, Ecolobaha, energize our communication. Energize our speech. Energize our words. Fill our words with grace. In the name of Jesus. Holy Brihiti Hagus. Vili Yala Mahatana Mahasim. Yanderebedos. Le Polorose. Lambolos Salahatat. La Yanderebe Katoli Bahasa. Bilere Bahatale Balabababam. Call Yatelimana Masiriana Babam. Kali andelebele katam, e pule ya telebe kosia, mantelebe hondele hantam, kantali ya telebe hosia, hi kantele mi hantolo mi hansam, kali andele mi hansuketem, ki kantali ya tana mahasi, e tele mi hansi yana babam. In the name of Jesus. Now say in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Every negative word
that has been spoken against my life,
secretly or openly,
I arrest those words,
and I negate them.
In the name of Jesus.
I declare those words are impotent.
And they cannot affect me
in any way.
In the name of Jesus.
Any word
I have released
against my life,
unconsciously
or consciously,
whether under pressure
or out of frustration,
right now,
I repent.
In the name of Jesus,
I revoke all such words,
and I render them inoperative.
I render them impotent.
In the name of Jesus,
in the name of Jesus,
every weak word
I've released
against myself,
I cancel it.
In Jesus' name.
I release the word of God
concerning my life.
I release his word concerning my life.
His word says,
I am the light of the world.
I am a city set on a hill
which cannot be hidden.
His word says,
I am the salt of the earth.
I bring change.
I change flavor.
In the name of Jesus.
His word says,
I diffuse
the fragrance of Christ
wherever I go.
In the name of Jesus.
I am an agent of change.
Where there is chaos,
I bring peace.
Where there is sorrow,
I bring joy.
Where there is hatred,
I bring love.
I am a solution,
not a problem.
God said,
let there be light,
and there was light.
And so God says,
I am light.
Therefore, as I step into my family, let there be light. Therefore, in my finances, I speak light. Therefore, in my academics, I speak light. Therefore, in my relationships, I speak light. Therefore, into my destiny, I speak light. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. His word says, I am a branch attached to the vine. I am the fruit bearing part of the vine. What flows through the vine flows through me. Therefore, I declare life flows through me. I declare virtue flows through me. I declare power flows through me. I declare strength flows through me. I declare grace flows through me. Whatever flows through the vine flows through the branches. I am the fruit bearing part of the vine. Therefore, I manifest Christ. I diffuse the fragrance of Christ. I display the beauty of Christ. In the name of Jesus. His word says, as many of us as we are baptized into Christ, we have put on Christ. Therefore, every evil garment that has been put on me catches fire now. In the name of Jesus, I put on Christ as a garment of light, as a garment of praise. Every spirit of heaviness away. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Let oil of joy for the spirit of mourning and the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Favor encompasses me as a shield. Goodness and mercy follow me wherever I go. The glory of God follows me wherever I go. Therefore, I will arise and I will shine, for my light has come, and the glory of God has risen upon me. In the name of Jesus, I don't walk in darkness. I don't live in darkness. I walk in the day. I walk in the day. Because the Son of Righteousness has arisen upon me with healing in his wings. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. His word says, he has blessed me with all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus in the heavenly places. Therefore, I am blessed beyond a curse. I am blessed beyond disappointment. I am blessed beyond retrogression. I am blessed beyond stagnation. I am blessed. I am blessed in my going out. I am blessed in my coming in. I am blessed when I sit down. I am blessed when I rise up. I am blessed in the country. I am blessed in the city. My store is blessed. My basket is blessed. The fruit of my hand is blessed. The fruit of my body is blessed. Everything I touch is blessed. Because his word says so. He has blessed me with all spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. in heavenly places. I am seated far above all principality and power and rule and everything that is named. I am seated far above. Therefore, no arrow of darkness can touch me. The destruction at noonday and the pestilence that was in darkness, they cannot reach me because I'm seated far above. Oppressions of witchcraft from my background, they cannot reach me because I'm seated far above all principality and power and rule. In the name of Jesus, I control what comes into my life. I shut the gates of my destiny to evil, to misfortune, to evil, to misfortune. In the name of Jesus, I open the gates of my destiny to the will of God, the word of God, the desires of God, the plans of God, the purpose of God, the parties of God for my life, the program of God for my life. I open the gate of my destiny to God's favor. In the name of Jesus, I am favored. I am blessed and highly favored. I am lifted, for he is the lifter of my head. He is my glory and the lifter up of my head. I belong to the top. For I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. I died with him. I was crucified with him. I was buried with him. I was raised with him. I was made alive with him. And I've been made to sit together with him in heavenly places. Therefore, I am blessed. My tongue will declare blessing. My tongue will heal. My tongue will heal. My tongue will help. My tongue will minister grace. In the name of Jesus, anywhere I go, anywhere I go, the favor of God goes before me. Where others are rejected, I will be accepted. Where others are denied, I will be embraced. Where others are cast down, I will say surely, there's a lifting up. In the name of Jesus, I will not die. I will live my full days on this earth. No weapon, no weapon fashioned against my life will prosper. Every tongue that will rise, that has arisen, or arose, or will rise against me, I condemn that tongue. I condemn that tongue. In the name of Jesus.